Gear Supreme. Raiders of resale, living the dream. From whatnot to eBay, we score the loot. Vintage finds in every pursuit. Tips to cash in, story so grand. Reselling Raiders, rulers of the land. Reselling Raiders, treasure we chase. Hat house fired up, coaching the race. Vintage hat shirts, golf gear supreme. Raiders of resale, living the dream.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Reselling Raiders podcast, where we talk everything from eBay to whatnot. I am Hat House, joined by Coach Borch and Fired Up Finds. Tonight, we're going to have a jam-packed show, and if you're hearing this, Rob's not with us.
Unfortunately.
Where'd he go?
Rob is here, He's going to Japan, so we pre-recorded this one, and we appreciate everybody. I know y'all would want an episode because we're up to almost 100 subscribers on Apple Podcasts. So we're only two away to hitting the 100 mark on Apple. Really appreciate everybody hitting the subscribe button over there, and everybody on YouTube. Really appreciate you. We're going to have another giveaway tonight, and since it's not live, it'll have to be members only. So it's going to be pretty good chances for those members that we have to score the giveaway. And as always, on YouTube, it's ad-free for the first couple of episodes. But we still have to pay the bills with our sponsor this week.
And speaking of our sponsor this week, the Raiders of Reselling is proudly sponsored by Fun Factory, the makers of the world-famous Green Torpedoes of Joy you've seen soaring majestically across major league sports venues. That's right. While we're out here digging through attics for treasures, Fun Factory is out there making history, one spectacular toss at a time. Built tough, built green, built to be remembered. So whether you're chasing relics or just trying to make the highlight reel, trust Fun Factory to deliver the goods. Now back to the show, where our adventures don't always go long, but they always go deep.
Fun Factory.
Ah, dude, that is so good, dude.
So that is so good. Started in what, the WNBA?
I think so, right? The WNBA?
That's your giveaway. That little green torpedo has been tossed at more sports venues than you can imagine right now. Whoa. LPGA events, it's been tossed at baseball games, football games, college pro. That thing is flying everywhere, man.
Yeah, the I don't think they should ever stop. I think we need more colors too.
Well,
I'm pretty sure Fun Factory makes them in all different colors.
They were betting on which color would be tossed next, but they just kept going with the green.
One came out and didn't one drop out in an NFL game like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
It was right in the end zone when somebody scored. One came flying out. Happened at a college game too.
So, like, do we speculate how they get into the venue?
I think they just stuff them.
You don't just carry it in.
You don't just carry it in. Hey, you check and be in the wrong places there, pal.
Yeah, just hide it in your flask. Dude, listen, boys, it is totally not Monday night. The Ravens are definitely not beating the Detroit Lions as they march down the field right now. So
it totally is.
There's Rob's giveaway.
This is going to be your giveaway. It was a Northrop Grumman Givi. It still has the tags on it. Brand new.
Yeah,
dude. Ravens hat.
They make good hats and good bombs. You know what I mean? I think they make bombs, right? Don't they?
Northrop Grumman? They make airplanes.
They make good hats and good bomb carriers, you know?
Yeah, missiles.
I also think that we need to call this freaking Dudes of Reselling. You know what I mean? I think we need a rebranding.
I looked up to try to find if I could have like a dude counter. Like if like some AI could automatically count the number of dudes that we drop each.
Dude, seriously.
So you could wait.
The reselling dudes.
Reselling dudes. Yeah,
dude, that's what I'm saying.
If you didn't know, we got called out a little bit on the number of dudes we dropped on the past podcast.
I wouldn't say this was a we problem.
Well, it's not. There's only one dude. There's only one dude dropper.
Dude.
I guess, yeah, I don't know how. It's kind of like when people say like a lot, like. I guess dude is just my my sentence breaker upper. You know?
I know exactly what you're talking about. I
totally apologize to everybody that watches this for my total distraction because the Ravens are right there.
Yeah. Yeah, Rob is currently in Japan, and he can't watch NFL in Japan because it's not broadcasted there. So
by the time this one airs, the raid train will have been over, and we'll have hopefully had pretty successful. I think y'all have shown me some pretty good a pretty good lineup that y'all have.
Yeah, I'm hoping that whole thing back there is gone. Yeah,
how many hats do you guys have set up?
All the racks. Son of a bitch. Mike, I just don't take joy in your joy.
Oh wait, hey, I got a question real quick, boys. Do you both wear pants when we do a pod?
Of course. I always wear shorts.
Rob,
I cannot be seen from the bottom down.
Rob, what are you wearing boxers right now? Well, I just want to know. I just want to know, Rob, if you stood up, what are you wearing?
I don't think it's appropriate for me to stand up. Also, given the sponsor tonight.
He doesn't wear freaking pants, dude, when we're doing pods.
Oh my God.
I got shorts on. Look.
Whoa, dude. What's up with the knee compress?
I got a bad bum knee right now, bro.
Yeah.
Steven,
you always wear pants, dude, or shorts or whatever?
I always wear shorts, golf shorts, like Adidas shorts, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. What I'm wearing right now.
Always.
That's cool.
What brought this up? I mean,
I was just wondering.
Mike's sitting there free balling,
and I'm free balling. I was just wondering. I mean, you know, it seems less comfortable than how I rock pods, but you know,
do you make it a pretty much a habit whenever you're talking to people, ask them what they're wearing?
Yeah, usually.
It seems that way.
Yeah, usually. Yeah, I usually say, if y'all show me the sponsor yours, something. I'll show you mine.
Fun Factory triggered something.
Dude, I was just curious. How many hats do you guys have set up for the raid train?
So you asked the question. I was going to answer it. I think on the racks, there's about 65. But if you can see on the table, let me get this out of the way.
Yeah, you got another like 40 hats right there.
Oh, please. There.
So what do you say? You got about 100 or so?
There's at least a good 100 there.
How many did you set up, Steven?
I got like 45 right now. I'm probably gonna go dig out some more. Yeah. I can usually get through about a hat a minute unless I'm just really trying to push it to the limit. So, and we've got a 45 minute set. So I usually try to have a hat a minute, but I'd like to have a few more. So I'll probably push it to 60, 65, something like that.
Is there going to be a certain hat you're thinking about wearing for the show?
I don't do very good at that. I usually just wear my OU Nike hat, but a lot of times if you wear a good hat in the show, it will help.
They want you to sell it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most people, if you got a great hat on, they want you to sell it.
Yep. And sometimes you can get a premium for it.
I'm going with this one.
Yeah, dude, I actually need that hat.
It's the second time you said that.
Yeah, I actually do need that hat because I really do get tacos after every show. That happened with that Dale Earnhardt hat. It's like a $60-ish dollar hat, around that, $60 to $80 bucks on eBay. I wore that in a show, and a guy bought it for $100.
That's a clean snapback, too.
Yeah, that is a good hat.
It's a good snappy.
Yeah, I think I have I have 70 or so. I'm not entirely sure, but I split them up today into the clean and then just like the brush down and reshape piles or whatever. And I have about 50 or so in just the brush down and reshape. And then I have about 30 ish, maybe a little bit more that need an actual wash. So yeah, I've been saving. I mean, I haven't had a hat show, I believe, since the last raid. Yeah, since the last raid train. So I've been saving up literally every hat I go to.
Yeah, I don't know. I went live a couple of times last week, just little shows here and there, and kind of showing what hats that I might have in the raid train coming up. And I did okay. I'm up in the air on whether to continue to do that. I think I just really don't like sitting there.
Yeah,
really just want to run.
You look very miserable. Like, okay,
okay.
Here you go. Here's this one. Somebody needs this.
Bigfoot is what?
Bigfoot is real.
And he tried to eat my ass?
And he tried to eat my
ass. Dude, where does this guy get shit like that from? Dude, like, what in the world?
I'm in tears over here.
Oh, my gosh.
That was pretty out there.
Steven, did you promote the last show after...
Yeah,
I'll what, never our do last that again. One was Wednesday or Thursday? And no change?
I mean, it showed that some people came in on the promotion, but yeah. I probably won't ever do that again. I think it was at least $10.
Yeah,
that's why my payout was less. And I was wondering today why my payout was less than what it said, and it just dawned on me it was the $10 in promotion.
Yeah,
I don't think it would have changed. I don't think I would have sold.
I have not promoted a single show.
Yeah, but I don't think I'll do. I don't think I'll do a show like that again. I probably will just stick to doing raid trains, honestly, because it's really about the good timing to where I can build up some inventory for the next one and still have good stuff and wait a couple of months, and then I'll just sell hats, buy it now on Whatnot. And what has actually been doing well on Whatnot is I sold another pair today is earbuds. I mean, I've sold another couple of earbuds. So three or four earbuds selling there a week.
What's up, Eddie? I think eventually we're going to have to do a rebranding of the Hat House.
I think so. Yeah. And what I started today, and I've already sold a couple, is, and kind of a tip for people out there, if you get into this, and I've done it with golf clubs in the past, if you sell something as a whole unit, sometimes you can break up that unit and sell each individual piece and actually make more money off of all the individual pieces rather than selling the whole set. And so I started listing just empty cases today, which say the earbuds, all of it together is $50. I sold the case today for $30 and then sell each earbud separately for $15 to $20. And then so actually increasing the margin. And if you don't really care about keeping it all together and all you're worried about is the bottom line and making more money and more sales, then it's not necessarily a bad thing to do. And I've done that with golf clubs a lot of times. I will tell you, if you do it with golf clubs, you can make more money, but you will get stuck with six irons. I do know that. Nobody ever replaces a six iron or loses a six iron for some reason.
Nobody uses it.
Yeah, I don't think it just doesn't get pulled out very much. It doesn't get lost very much. And So, but
you well, that's can't... when you gather up all your six irons and take them to your plate against sports and drop them off.
Right. I think that's probably the best thing to do. But yeah,
even if they give you store credit, buy some more seven irons or pitching wedges.
Right. For sure. And I've like, you buy a set, you try to get a set for $150 that maybe you can flip for $200, or you can sell each club out of there for $30 to $50. And I mean, you can double your money on a set of golf clubs pretty quickly like that, but got to find something to do with six irons. And that's a pretty good idea.
Have you ever taken them apart, like the heads off the shafts, and sold them that way?
Uh-uh. I never went that far. I'm sure you could make even more.
That's gonna really depend on the shafts you have there, Mike.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of the standard stuff is not going to be worth doing that for. But if you have some of the higher like end shafts, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they could be $300-$400.
Yeah, I've never taken them apart either, but I have a buddy at work that sells golf clubs on Facebook. And that's what he'll do is he'll go out and he'll buy clubs that maybe the club head isn't that great or the shaft isn't that great, but a piece of the club is what he's looking for. And then he'll actually like take a shaft and put it on, you know, put a different head on it or, you know, whatever it is. And he's going
to build a desirable club.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll Frankenstein like a more desirable club. And so, you know, he could end up making a couple $100 club from just some less desirable pieces and kind of just putting them together.
Yeah. So. There's all sorts of ways to do that kind of reselling. Somebody else that I've talked to did it for a while. And basically I think he was doing it on some sort of machinery. I want to say snow blowers, or maybe it was lawnmowers or something like that, but just going and buying the unit and then just taking it apart and then selling each part individually off and then making twice as much on that item. There's a lot of ways to do it. There's a lot of ways to make money out there.
I saw a video earlier last week of a guy that went to the junkyard. He'd go to the junkyard and he wasn't looking for big parts like doors and things like right. that. He would just look for the emblems, you know, Cadillacs and, you know, just the old car emblems or whatever. And yeah, I think they were charging them. Yeah. They were charging them like $2.50, I believe. So, you know, he would, that ain't good, Rob. He's going to get caught. He's going to get caught.
He got caught.
They charged him like $2.50 for the emblem. And then he would take like some rear tail lights from like older model vehicles and, you know, stuff like that too. So
yeah, if I was younger and starting over, I probably would do auto parts and try to learn auto parts and just go pull the easy to ship ones off the yard. And I mean, once you get really good at it, you're finding $200 to $500 parts left and right out there, and the margin is insane. And I know a lot of people do really well with auto parts.
Yeah, completely insane. And like Amanda and I have sold a good amount of car parts probably over the last month or two. Nothing that's like, you know, it the insane ones, you know, that are a couple $100 or whatever, but just a lot of like really good $30 to $50 hubcaps or emblems, or, you know, really just hubcaps and emblems. But yeah, like you can even sell like, you know, side mirrors. And I noticed too, is that they don't always have to be in like pristine shape, because they just want like that part number that's engraved on usually the inside of whatever the part is to be the original part. And then, you know, whoever's going to buy it for whatever restoration project they're working on, you know, they'll make it look pretty. They just want to make sure that it's the original, you know, part or whatever. And so I've never bypassed a part that I've looked up and is good just because the shape or the condition like isn't 100%, you know. I'm not going to buy, you don't want to buy like something that's completely destroyed. But, I do want to, do you guys remember last week or, shoot, it's probably 3 weeks ago that I in one of our bolos, it was that red line Hot Wheel.
Yeah.
Right?
I remember that.
Do you remember it being destroyed?
Yeah. Yes. It was like crushed.
Yeah. So I got a message back from that guy. He restored it. I have to show you this. It's so sick. Oh, it's so sick, dude. It's literally so sick. Let me see. Where's it at? Dude, like, I was like, bro, there's no...
What a hobby.
Yeah, I was like, there's... Oh, here it is.
That was a dude and a bro.
Just a dude and a bro. So, for everybody that wasn't here that week, this is what I sold. This is what I sold. It's a 60s or something like that. I can't remember what.
It's been stepped on and set on fire.
1968 Hot Wheel Redline custom Dodge Charger, right? And I sold it for like $60, somewhere around there. And it sold really good. It went from that to this.
Wow.
Dude, isn't that crazy?
Dude.
I was like, this guy, I mean, look at these photos.
Dude, that's sick. Bro.
Isn't that so sick? And then that's what he ended up getting. I was like, that's absolutely incredible.
Steven, he just resold it for $600.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I messaged him and I was like, first of all, the best thing in the world I love is when people will reach back out to you after you sell an item. If it's something like that or like something, you know, maybe a picture or whatever it is, and they like reach back out to you to show you like what they did with it. You know what I mean? I think that's super cool. And so he messaged me and he said, here's the finished product. And then he sent me those photos and I was like, oh man, I was like, that looks incredible. I can't even believe that. He said he was in total with the car like $77. So, which obviously a vast majority of that was the car itself. And obviously I showed you guys a couple of weeks ago in the bolos, those in good shape can go all the way up to like $600, you know, everywhere from, you know, the high 100s all the way to like $600, I think was the most that I saw. So, you know, I don't know how long it took him or how much work it is, but you could see where he could flip that and make tons of profit, you know? So I thought that was pretty cool. Is that a Ravens mini helmet? Rob just sits at his desk and then just randomly grabs shit that's around him and just holds it up to the camera. Anybody that's not watching this is missing at least a quarter of the experience.
I got the question again today on eBay, actually. Somebody else really interested in getting into reselling. And the question always is, where do you get your stuff? Had that question again.
How do you answer it though?
Today I think what I'm going to do going forward is I'm just going to be like, I'm not like most people. Some people go, I told him, I said, I don't do the liquidation like some people. So I couldn't give you like a company to go out and buy all your stuff from. So I can't really answer it. The only way that I can answer it is I start buying stuff and then you finally figure out who keeps getting the same stuff that you want to buy. And that's literally the answer, unless you're going to try and do the liquidation game. And there's just no other way around it besides just starting to buy the stuff that you want to resell. And eventually you figure out where it's coming from.
Yes. Yeah. I think, which, I mean, we've said this plenty of times before. I think if you want to start in the reselling game, just period, and we're not talking just eBay or just whatnot, we're just in this could be Facebook Marketplace. I think the best thing for you to do is do a 360 of your house and you go out into your garage and you go into your closet and your spare bedroom and under that bed and you find all the things, all the kitchen appliances that you haven't used in a year and all the tools that you know that you're not going to use and so on and so forth. And you go and gather. Yeah. You just go and gather up 20, 50, 70 items that you haven't, that you forgot that you owned. And, you know, and that's how you start. there is zero overhead, and you know, and you can make the mistakes with the things that are in a way free. You know, not that not free that you didn't ever buy them, but free that you didn't buy them to resell them. So, you know, it takes out at least how I started. It took out a lot of that, like initial fear for me. Oh, well, what happens if I mess up the shipping, or what happens if, you know, I buy things that people don't want to buy, and so on and so forth. It takes out a lot of that, and you can kind of work out a lot of those like early day kinks. When you just walk around your house and sell the things that you don't use, you know? And it's like, if you can go ask a billionaire, you know, how did you make your $1 billion? And they can tell you, just like we're telling you how to do the reselling. But they're not going to give you every single little minuscule detail. You know what I mean? That's part of the game. Like, that's part of like why it feels good when you find whatever level of success that you want to find. You know what I mean? It's like, that's it. That's why people that build massive businesses and are super successful are always so much more happier than the people that win the lottery, you know, because they grinded and they like made all the mistakes and they took their lumps and they put in their 10,000 hours, you know?
I get you there, but I would definitely wouldn't mind trying the other way either.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, listen, yeah, I'm not knocking it. I'll try it out. But, you know, it's just the grind.
I'll try it and let you know.
So I told you guys last week, I think, that Amanda's mom has kind of jumped into the game a little bit. And I was at the flea market on Saturday morning. And I get a call from, so that our flea market opens up at 8, but you know, if you have a little finesse, you can get in there at like 7.
Do you have a fast pass?
And so you have a
VIP entrance.
And
Mike's
so
got his own parking spot.
And so I get a call from her at like 7:40 or something like that. And I was like, what's up?
Tell them to let me in.
She goes, what time does the flea market open? And I said 8:00. And she's like, well, where are you at? And I was like, I'm inside the flea market. And she's like, well, how did you get in? So I told her, and I said, don't go broadcast it, but this is how you do it. And she spent, you know, like 4 hours at the flea market on Saturday. You know what I mean? And like, she didn't find a whole bunch of stuff, and she didn't find things that are going to sell for hundreds of dollars, but she came out with like 5 or 6 really good quality items. And the best part is that she looked up a bunch of stuff that wasn't worth it. So she knows. So now that's in her Rolodex. Right.
Yeah,
and so
she's got the,
education.
She's 100%. It's almost as important as knowing the stuff that is worth it as the stuff that's not to waste your time on.
100%. And the thing is that you have to learn, you have to waste your time on it at first. You know what I mean? It's like, there is no skipping that step. There is no skipping.
You got to build the depth.
Exactly. You have to. And so anyway, she got, she sold 2 things last week. One was a thing from her own house that she sold. And then she sold her first thing that she actually went out and bought for reselling. And it was, I think she paid a couple bucks for a t-shirt, and she sold it in 2 or 3 days for $45. Right. And so I was like, that's for me, that first thing that I sold that I actually went out and bought to sell was like, I was instantly hooked. I was like, I got it all figured out, you know? It's just, you gotta get to that first little point right there. And then I think that's what hooks a lot of people is you're like, oh, I can do it, you know?
Switch up to the rally cap here.
One of the first ones that I can remember was a Casio. It looked like almost exactly like a James Bond watch that Mary actually found at a garage sale, and we bought it for $1 and sold it for $350. You know, and from that point, you're just like, how many? Surely I can duplicate this.
Yeah,
we find another one.
Yeah, where do you find these James Bond watches?
Yeah,
I tried to get in. I tried to figure out the watch game. I never really could.
There's a lot to that, man.
Yeah, and there's a big difference. And finding, I mean, most of the ones, it's like everything. 99% of what you're going to find at the garage sale is junk. Yep. I mean, it's just a junk watch that's probably a $10 Walmart watch or Target or whatever. And finding the really good ones is just few and far between.
Yep.
And watches is also replacing the batteries, make sure it works. And that's a lot of time there too.
Yeah.
But it's always, you were talking about a few episodes ago about what sells on the front page there. And it always is pushed really hard. Watches is doing really well. And it's on Whatnot too. I think it's one of their big categories that they're trying to push watches. Never been a huge watch person, but they sell really well.
Oh, if I had the fortune, I could spend it on. If I had that fortune, I would have some watches. Let me tell you, man. I used to have a client. One of my clients used to be the Financial Times out of London. And every month they did a special section on watches. And literally, you know, you got like 40 newspaper pages of watches and watch ads. And 75% of them cost more than a house.
That's insane, too, because it's like one of the only things that I can think of off the top of my head that is a wearable item that will increase in value. You know, people buy them as investment pieces.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't really know of other things that you can buy that are wearable.
That depends on the watch though. Depends.
Yeah, but like the Richard Mills and the, you know, Rolexes and the, you know, this is and that's whatever in the world they are. People will buy them, you know, the multi-thousand, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousand dollar watches because they go up in value, which is insane. You know, the only other thing I can think of is sneakers, but with one of the watches, you can actually wear it. You know, I'm not saying it every day when you're building your house, but you can wear it and it'll still increase in value versus if you buy sneakers, they can increase in value as well. But the minute that you put them on and walk outside one time, you know, the value will go down on them. So, the watch game is that. That's what I'm saying. It's like if you love watches and you love learning about watches, then dude, that's your thing. You know, you can go in there and just be the watch guy and go out to all these flea markets and yard sales and thrift stores and bins and pawn shops and all these other places that probably don't know watches as well as you, because you've put in all the time to really learn about them and how to fix them.
Have you watched any of the shows on Whatnot? Shows on Whatnot?
No.
It's entertaining as hell.
But, there's a ton of money that can be made.
Are they starting stuff off at a dollar and just letting it fly?
It depends on what watch group you go into. But if you go into the ones that are worth a few dollars, they're not starting at a dollar now.
Right.
Really?
They know what they got. They're sitting there waiting to see if somebody wants to come in and buy it.
Steven, did you say something last week? Was it last week about Whatnot, like bringing on more celebrity influencer type people? Right? Did you say something about that or something to that effect?
Yeah, I was waiting for them to do more of that because I mean the last one that I remember was who did I say? The guy with the tattoos.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Whatever. I'll think of his name here.
That could be one of a thousand dudes.
He did like Magic the Gathering cards and
You're talking about
he wears his hat always with the crease. It looks stupid. I'll think of the guy's
name. Oh, Post Malone.
Post Malone. Yes. Yeah. That's the only one that I really knew of that was getting in on it. Why did you? Was there somebody else?
Yeah. Today, I saw it. Actually, the show happened today, which was Monday the 22nd. G-Eazy, which you guys probably don't know who that is, but he's a rapper. He and when I was in high school, he was a pretty popular guy. Oh, is he
with like H-Hard?
Okay, so we're going to bypass that. And he sold his whole... He's boomers, you know what I mean? These guys, you can't even trust them.
I'm Gen X.
You can't, so. Yeah, whatever. You can't even trust them. He sold his whole sneaker collection on Whatnot with the guys from Cool Kicks. So yeah, the Cool Kicks. If you go on their Whatnot profile, they have almost 1 million followers on there. It's about 700,000, I believe, is what I saw. Wow. And they've had a number of B and A list celebrities, and they'll go to their homes or whatever, and they will sell their whole sneaker collections. And you know, they're pretty vast. Like, they're, you know, when you talk about these guys, they have, you know, a couple hundred pairs of sneakers, and usually they're not, you know, low top Vans. They're some pretty legit sneakers. So, that's the only one thing, and it just reminded me today, because I was like, I think we were just talking about that, and those are the only ones that I know that I've done that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah, that's great for the platform, because I mean, every buyer that you bring the
exposure
on,
yeah
it's just going to keep growing. It I think it's a good deal. They should, yeah. I wonder if they're getting any kickback on it, or but
yeah, other than just like the normal fee type deal or whatever.
Yeah,
that just, who knows how. And there's two things. Number
one, I would say for the exposure, they're probably getting zero commissions.
Oh yeah, I mean, that would make sense. Damn it, Rob, I was gonna say something freaking super smart, dude, and you
always do, dude.
Wrecked it.
Sorry, bro.
My bad. Word up. Hey, I need Tyler Loop to miss it. I'm sorry.
Shush.
I'm sorry. They can win the game, but I need them to miss it. I'm sorry.
No. Drill it.
So I didn't see. Did your Jaguars win?
Are you?
Yes. Oh, he made it. Unbelievable. Yeah, in the ugliest game of all time. Oh my! And I'm telling you, boys, right now.
You see how he's
right now.
I put money on Jacksonville yesterday.
No. I want the Ravens to win. I have no problem. No, I have no. I have no problem with the Ravens winning. The guy I'm playing in fantasy has Tyler Loop. That's it.
You already beat his ass. He ain't got no.
No, I'm not. I'm not whooping his ass at all. That was my other league. I am whooping that dude's ass in that other league. I'm currently down by exactly 3 points. The same 3 points that Tyler Loop just got. So that's awesome.
Loop!
Remind me why they got rid of their kicker. Was it the massage thing?
Yes, it was the massage
thing. Wait, what massage just thing happened?
Tucker?
Yeah, Justin
Tucker was accused of always having his schlong out. And trying to
he was accused of the old Robert Kraft?
Yes. Not the Deshaun Watson, more the Robert Kraft.
Hey, what about me? I don't need.
Have you guys ever went and got a professional massage?
I am not commenting on that. No.
Yes, I have. My wife and I actually got them in Japan.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you ever got them in the States?
Yes.
Like without your wife, or?
Yes. There's a massage.
So like, does that come up, or, I mean, do they hint at any of that kind of stuff, or?
No, not. Not unless you go to the right one. Unless you go to that one where it's.
Well, how do you know what's the right one and the wrong one?
You know when it's the right one. Trust me. It doesn't. Oh. Hey,
I have never been.
It doesn't have a storefront in a main place of town. It's usually on a back street or a thoroughfare that's not in the best part of town.
Really?
And quite often,
and do you still get massaged? Do you still get like a legitimate massage?
I've never been to one.
Huh.
Report back. I demand a report back, Mike.
Yeah, it's for science. He missed that field goal. You've seen that. He missed that field goal.
He made it.
That's insane. Yeah, no, the Jags won. I'm happy that they won. I'm going to tell you right now, I almost just jumped off the balcony of my place. Because when
Mike, I got you covered
here.
Five or six
drop passes in the game, and I think three of them came back to back to back. That third one, I was literally losing my mind. Like Amanda came in the man room and was like, what is going on? And I'm like, I'm freaking out, dude. Oh,
freaking out. Mike, yeah. Do you know where Bowden Road is?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Go to Bobo Asian Spa.
That's actually very close to where my office is at.
Yep. Go there and let us know how it works out.
So Bobo Asian Spa. Mm-hmm.
Go check it out.
It sounds like a bunch of nice people work there. They're going to freaking rub me down.
Yep.
Like, hey, one of the funny part about getting a back massage is that my back is located on my piece.
Take cash.
Hey, do you guys get back massages? Yeah, but what if it's located on your wiener?
That's extra.
Yeah. Sir, listen, I won't be going there because this is not live, so Amanda cannot hear what I'm saying. But next week when it is, when it's posted.
Mikey will be like, do I get a firefighter's discount?
Oh, no. Didn't they catch Robert Kraft because there was like a bunch of condoms in the damn sewer pipe or something?
No,
like that?
They were raiding the place.
Oh, and he was in there?
He just happened to be there?
He was getting tugged. This guy is just so out of control.
I didn't even know this about Robert Kraft. I mean, I know.
Yeah, I think they were in Miami.
It was like the biggest deal ever 5 years ago or something.
They were in Miami.
Were they there for a Super Bowl or something?
No, I think they were just, I think he has a house down there. And I think
the Pats were probably playing
the Dolphins.
Yeah. Yeah. And he just decided to go to his favorite local tug. And
so the one of the richest people in the world, probably.
That's what I'm saying.
Has to go to the massage parlor.
Yeah, I thought if you were that rich, you just got like house call tugs, you know?
It would have been better off.
Just that chain yanked at your house.
Way off topic. Yeah,
Florida massage parlor in 2019.
Hey, Steven, I told you that this is a freestyle pod. And so
Wait.
There's 30%.
He was videoed at the Orchids of Asia Day Spa in Jupiter, Florida.
Really?
There you go. Check it out.
Yeah, this is Raiders of Reselling. What's it? 30% talking about reselling, 70% talking about rubbing tugs.
And who's the one?
That's how we cut out the dudes.
Yeah, sorry.
Cut out the dudes.
Listen, I've been trying. I don't blame the guy. I'm sure it's probably annoying. I don't listen to these podcasts. So
you should always listen to it back. You can learn a lot.
Yeah, but then I don't want to know.
Me either. Well,
let's learn some bolos.
Like, you sound like an idiot. That's what I can't hear the music. It's bolo time. I'm being dead serious. Raiders keep you informed.
All right, it's everybody's favorite turn.
This is the part where we all skip two.
Are you ready,
Rob? Who's going?
Yes, I'm ready. Put them up there. Bearskin Tactical. I know you guys have seen this on some videos that we all skip over. When a guy's, why do you have 4,000 layers of clothes? Well, you could just wear the bearskin tactical. But
I haven't seen that, actually.
No, you haven't? Okay, well, it's out there. Now you'll see it. You'll see it on a loop now every time you load up a video. So anyway, apparently the different hoodies, the fleece, the tactical ones are, well, they're all tactical. but you got a couple that are of the 2XL size. You got a brand new one in there that's shooting up to 75, but they sell in the 50s to 60s range used. I mean, it's kind of a like a Carhartt, I guess.
So is it like a base layer?
No, these are like supposedly thick hoodies that will replace whatever 16 layers of clothing you're wearing.
There you go.
Yep. Billy Reed. I never heard of in my life. But if you're ever looking at some coats and you see it says Billy Reed, look it up. As you can see here, I'm going to say this is a shacket on the bottom. So it's like a shirt jacket.
Yeah.
It is. It's a shacket right there. So that's in your $52. Chore jacket. Yeah. So that's in your $50 range. But if you look up here at these couple that they have going, like the cashmere quilted, the chore jacket, the dark loden, this is a suede coat right here. These are insanely expensive. So when you're out looking and you see the name Billy Reed, stop and look it up and see what you got.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. So I know I'll be looking at coats now, seeing if I can find a Billy Reed that's a suede. I mean, I never heard of him before. Never heard that name before.
Billy. Hey, Billy.
Billy Reed. Billy.
What do you got, Mike?
All right, here's a couple. I've talked about Militaria. Is that how you say it?
Militaria.
A couple times. Here's just some good ones. Any of the Patagonia. Any of the Patagonia Militaria is always really good. You got, I mean, there's a bunch of different levels, like 1 through 5, I think. And the prices will correlate. The prices will correlate with the different levels and the different like patterns. This one's probably the best one, is that if you can get this frog, that Patagonia frog, I believe that that's the Special Forces one. And they sell, obviously, that one's $800. Yeah. I believe that that's what the Special Forces were. A couple things that we sold this week. Let's see. We have, where's it at? Oh, here it is. This thing was sick. I've actually had this. The sell-through rate on it is really, really good. And it sold within the normal amount of time that it should have sold. I thought it was going to sell a little bit quicker. But I picked this up from the flea market. I think I got it for $5. I got it probably a month and a half ago. Or if not more. This is a, it's a training vest and harness. So it is called Trisar, TRI-SAR, and it had the U.S. Navy on it, if you can kind of see up there at the top. It's a training U.S. Navy. And then I believe on the backside is where I found the tag at for it.
I think they're buying those in Colombia, right? Because they keep getting blown up.
That's Venezuela.
That's Venezuela.
Venezuela, okay.
Oh my God! No, he didn't. I guess maybe there isn't a there. This is the only tag that was on it right here. I think that's kind of the one that I Google imaged or typed in and kind of brought it up. But anyway,
it's like one of those life vests, right? That you
life vest, but it also has a harness on it, so it's some kind of it's some kind of like life saving system. I don't exactly know what it is, but I had it listed for $250. A guy sent me $160 offer, and so I took it. Like I said, it was probably up there for a month and a half, 2 months maybe. And so yeah, I could have gotten a little bit more, but I didn't. This one right here, or did I show the snake boots last week?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
The snake boots. Then, yeah, I don't know. That's pretty much it, really.
The first one that I got is
there we go.
kind of to answer the guy's question that sent me earlier, I sourced these off of eBay, right? So, but it wasn't the, for one, I sold them anywhere from $15 to $18, but I got 300 of them this year and I've sold them all. And they're just vintage camel hats.
I was going to say, you still have those?
I have like three left. And I started with 300 and I sold all of them. It took me about a year to sell all 300, but at like $15 a piece, I mean, you're talking what, $4,500 in sales, and just having, being able to have a replenishable item. And I found them on eBay and somebody was selling a bulk lot of them. And I actually ended up messaging them and they had like hundreds more. So I kept buying them. And so that's one way as well. And really you can find deals, and I got them for like $2 a piece is what I got them for, and sold them between $15 to $20 of replenishable. And I just put quantity on the listing and kept selling the same one over and over again, 'cause they were like dead stock. So it's a really good method. If you're,
so you looking... didn't do quantity of 300, you just kept one.
No, I did then... quantity of 300. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And so it got down, it sold out a couple of times because I didn't want to sell too many. And then I kind of upped the quantity and relisted it again. But yeah, it's super easy once you can get a replenishable item like that. Now finding a $50 or $60 item that's replenishable is pretty hard, but finding something like that for $15 or $20, selling it over and over again, pretty easy. And super easy just to throw it in a box every time it sells.
That's like the pink golf gloves I got at the beginning of the season.
Yeah,
I got a box of like 50 from this guy I know, and just put them up there, and they just kept selling out.
The next one is, how much do you think a signed Charlie Kirk hat goes for right now?
Right now,
yeah,
I'm saying four figures.
Yes,
Michael.
You take a guess?
No, I don't.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Have mercy.
There's another one. It is 5,000. I bring this up because, I mean, you have to decide if... You have to strike while the iron's hot, or not strike at all. Do you think that this will continue to go higher a year from now?
No.
Yeah.
No. I think it's the moment.
Yeah. This is the top of the market, right? I mean, yep. A year from now, I mean, it'd still be a cool thing to have and would still be a pretty good item, but I don't think you're going to get more than $5,000 for this hat.
Nope.
A year from now, or at any point, I think. And if
no, just... I think it's the reaction to the moment. I mean, sad to say, but it is what it is.
Yeah. I thought it was. I just went to hats, and I was looking at what sold the most for the most money, and
yeah,
these popped up.
I don't knock anybody's hustle.
I probably wouldn't sell it, but
I mean, for $5,000, you know, you're not condoning acts. You're just, I mean, for,
yeah, you're just like
$5,000 for a hat. I mean,
you know, it's an unfortunate thing that happened to the guy, but it's along the lines of, when a celebrity dies and everybody puts their stuff up for sale because they have it.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it happens almost every time a celebrity passes away. They,
this one might be a little more dramatic though. I wonder if you filtered to solds and then put the date prior to, you know, whenever the date of that, or the 10th of September, prior to that, I would wonder what your results would be.
Because
I'm sure some of his, like, he's had that people have have sold signed merch of his, I'm sure.
I would
just wonder anywhere
near $5,000.
Well, yeah, exactly. But like, so Ozzy Osbourne died, and you know, does his, you know, his stuff doesn't jump up 100-fold? Not like that. No, not, it didn't jump up like that. That I just,
well, I would also say there's probably more in the inventory in available of Ozzy Osbourne stuff that Charlie.
Yeah, because he was around for so long.
Yeah, he's around. He was very sought after for autographs. I wouldn't say Charlie Kirk was one of the guys you stood in line for and got autographs from.
June 28th.
That was probably one where he was going by and got an autograph.
June 28th, $125.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now that whatever Ozzy Osbourne grail was out there did not sell for like 500% or whatever that is.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
No, that's like, that's insane.
August 13th, $25.
Yeah.
On auction.
That's wild. Steven, were there a lot of those or were there just a couple?
Yeah, there was a lot.
A lot of the post September 10th ones?
Yeah. I mean, if that was just like the only one, I probably wouldn't have even brought it up, but there was at least 20.
That's insane, dude.
Between like the red MAGA hats and then that hat as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, dude, more power. I mean, to be honest with you, if I had one, I'd put it up. If I knew it was going for 5,000, like,
yeah.
I mean, do you guys think that's like morally right? Or like, is there even a moral case to even be made about that kind of stuff? Like, I personally don't think so.
I don't, because somebody that buying it, I would assume that they really, really want it and it's going to mean a lot to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. They probably really want it.
And I don't see a problem with it.
Not even just this one, but like in general, you know what I mean? Like when people die, whether it's like violently like that, or if it's just old age, like a lot of the others, like, do you think there's any like moral thing to, those ones were on bid. So it's not, they weren't priced up, but you know, but to price up merch just in general, do you think that like that's, or is it just kind of one of the things?
I think it's one of the things.
I think if
you feel like, if you feel like the need to buy it in that moment and you're willing to spend that much, then that's on you.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I think I could probably wait till next year at the same time and probably get, I would assume it'll still retain some good value, but I assume it would come down to the $500 to $1,000 if I was guessing. Probably.
Yeah.
And so if somebody willing to pay for it in that moment and they've, then I don't see anything wrong with it.
Do you guys have the forethought ahead? Is that looking ahead for the foresight? Or is that behind?
The foresight? No, foresight would be ahead. Are okay, you so saying you to like have the... buy stuff?
No. I'm just saying
pass
that
away
like,
this year.
No, well, I mean, kind of, but like, do you just have the foresight to, you know, to like, I don't even know how to say it without just sounding like a dick, though. You know what I mean?
It hasn't stopped you the whole episode.
Yeah, but it's, you know, this one's kind of freaking. You know, I don't want to be an asshole about it, but the, dude. You know, just like when anybody dies, not CK, just anybody dies. Do you guys ever, is that something that comes to your mind? Like, hey, maybe I should go it and doesn't. Buy something quick to try to get it up there before, you know, say news breaks nationwide or something like that.
No, I've been burnt several times on it. In the store and somebody passed away and I happen to have a shirt or a hat that was connected to them and it sold like immediately. And I didn't think about marking it up.
Well, I'm just saying,
I don't know that it's, I don't know that the moment's there long enough for you to chase stuff down, get it in and restock, re upload it for sale. I don't think.
Yeah, when were those sales, Steven? What were the date of those? Or what was the date of those? Because today's the 22nd. That's the 7th. So that sold after, I'm going to guess, maybe a 7-day auction. I don't know. Yeah. But it sold on bid, 48 bids, and it sold September the 17th, so 5 days ago, for $5,001. And for anybody listening, it's Charlie Kirk signed Donald Trump 47 hat. It's the white one with the gold letters. And then this one sold on the 21st, which was yesterday, for $4,398, also on bid. That one received 16 bids.
That one actually has a t-shirt.
So
if you look at it in that respect, it's actually starting downward.
Yeah. I guess you could look at it like that.
4 days ago,
do you have the ability to look up any more of them?
I haven't.
And put them on the screen or no?
Yeah.
I just want to see did the 17th sell for $5,000, and then how many more sold between then and now? And is the price
almost
$1,000 less? Yeah.
One sold for $10,000, it looks like.
Oh my God.
There's people with stupid money.
Can y'all see that?
Yeah. Yep. So this one sold on the 15th, which is 5 days after he was murdered, and it's in a glass case for $9,900 on 44 bids.
I'm gonna say that's the outlier because everything else is 5K.
Yeah, the case is
that's also the one that happened closest to the tent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
17.
So you're in the heat of the moment, and as you come out of it, you see that's him start to drop.
Oh, that one's on that said pre-sale on it. Did you see that? Pre-sale. Right there. That one that went for 3,000 something.
The next one down.
That one right there. Well, I wonder what the hell.
Pre-sale. I don't know.
It's somebody getting ready to buy another one and resell it.
$3,800. That one sold on the 15th right there. That top one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of rough looking too, though.
Yeah, it looks like they've come to around $3,000.
That's literally insane. I would, until you showed that, I never in a million years would have ever even thought to look, like, not even that you looked that up. You just looked up hat, and obviously that's the highest selling hat, like, ever, probably. I just would have never in a million years thought that, I don't know.
Who's got 10K to drop on that? God damn.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, guys, for anybody not watching, there's like multiple pages of $1,000 to $10,000, signed Charlie Kirk hats. That's blows my mind.
Yeah, I was wondering if it had. So I guess there's three pages of 60.
Three pages.
Can you hit that last page and see like what the? So we're still past the 10th. All of this is past the 10th.
Right on the 10th. They probably
right on the 10th.
They probably hadn't changed the price.
Yeah, that was probably up there to begin with. That was probably already.
All
up there.
Of that is before the 10th. That one's on the 10th.
Huh. Yeah, it was about $100 hat. And then this is probably didn't even count. He probably didn't even ship it.
Wow.
Pretty wild.
That's crazy, man. That it's like, that's completely out of control. Yeah, like this guy right here, that Jomi guy, that one sold on the 12th, and he obviously canceled it or whatever. Look at all those people canceled him probably. The 14th, the 12th, the 12th. I bet if you were to go back and look at those three names right there, I bet in those first two pages, those three names would pop up as on sold comps.
Yeah, they probably
on real sold comps. Yeah,
they relisted it.
Yeah, That's crazy, dude. Wow. That shit just blew my mind.
They just lost.
All right, I got a couple more. Check out, this was the highest selling one, though. Well, there was the one, but check out this. Ooh. This was back in July, though. Tiger Woods Upper Deck Autograph Tournament 1 white Nike hat. $10,000. One of one. It looks like it's been verified or...
It's verified by Upper Deck.
Oh, okay.
You want to know what's incredible about this photo for anybody that's not actually watching this? Is the photo is horrible.
Yeah, it's on some priority mailboxes.
Yeah, it's definitely in somebody's horrible bedroom with like a yellow overhead light on, exactly like the one that's shining over my head. It is a very unprofessional photograph for something to go for almost $11,000, or to go for $10,000.
Pretty wild. And yeah. I always say that 99% of the time autographs do not matter, but obviously there comes a point where autograph does matter, and you just have to know the difference. If you're talking about a Hall of Fame legend, then obviously the autograph matters. But most of the hats that you buy, you would be better off getting the autograph off of it. But obviously not that one.
Yeah, not that one. That one he actually took time to sign.
By the way, because of that horrible call, Rob, I am literally losing by 0.10 points.
Good. Good, you deserve it.
And I got one more Militaria for you. This one's, check out this, an actual Civil War Union hat. Went for, I assume he probably took $1,500. He had it priced at $2,000. But this really old stuff like this is great, and all that old military stuff. As long as you're not getting the 80s and 90s military stuff, kind of like we've said, is not usually that great. But once you get older, it can be amazing.
Yeah,
this is
Everything from like Vietnam, like all the Vietnam era stuff. Not all, but a lot of Vietnam era stuff. Especially the pants. You know what I mean? And a lot of people will skip over them because they'll have holes in them and stuff like that. Dude, those ones sometimes are still $200-$300 pants. Like, one thing too about, because this just kind of reminded me of the Civil War stuff, is the Civil War reenactment actual clothes are also super good.
Yeah,
they're also super super good. You'll be able to tell that it's, you know, not 200 years old or whatever, so you know you can, like, you'll be able to figure it out. But this, like, the reenactment shirts and pants, and especially the hats, you can actually find those, you know, not all the time, but because they're still old, you know, they're still a lot of them are still, you know, 30 40 50 years old, so those ones also do really well. I would just take your time, and if you have the time, so at my flea market, there's a lot of military stuff out there, you know? So once I do a couple laps and kind of just get all the things that I already know about, that I don't have to spend time to look up. And then that's kind of when I'll start doing another couple laps and really just stopping to look and research, and the military stuff is things that I look up a lot. So, because there's a lot of modern military stuff. Oh, you know, everything from 10 years old to now, that is also really, really good, just depending on the models and if it's Gore-Tex or so on and so forth. So, yeah.
For sure. Just
get out there and do your research. That's really it.
That's it.
All right.
Do the research.
Let's do our giveaway. We've got three members. So, getting a free hat this week. If you are a member, you definitely got a good chance, and you should have signed up to be a member. Pace, all right, we're ready. Deb, Donnie, and Darren, Let's see what we got.
Ooh, here we go.
Darren! What an absolute beast.
Hadn't seen him in a minute either.
Well, we don't got to see him, dude. If he's a member, he's on the wheel, baby.
Darren, send me your information.
I think I got it. I'll forward it.
You have it? Forward it to me.
Yeah, you're not getting out of this one.
Yeah, Darren's going to get a random package and be like, what in the world's going on here?
All right, guys. We appreciate you hanging out today. Until next week, we're live every Wednesday, unless it's Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. And we'll talk everything from eBay to whatnot. See you guys.
See you.